Lord, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
My sister and my niece joined us for Thanksgiving. Boy, was that just last week? Whew. That led to a flurry of preparations for their coming, cleaning and setting up bedrooms and bathrooms, planning meals, buying groceries, getting tickets to TCR's Beauty and the Beast, getting tickets to Wicked. And this weekend, it is getting the house prepared for Christmas. The tree went up, the garland on the front porch. We're going to put lights on the back deck. Not happened yet. There are decorations galore. And don't even get me started as to what happens even when we have somebody coming over just for lunch and the preparations for that. Now, we all know what it means to prepare for something, right? Think about sports. We've got a number of wrestlers in our midst. We even have some wrestling coaches. And these wrestlers are prepared by their coaches through conditioning drills, the repetition of moves for how to shoot a takedown, how to do a reverse, how to lock a hold in, how to break a hold. Prepared so that they can make those moves in a match without even thinking about it. We prepare for all kinds of things, don't we? Taking exams, big events, new careers. And these preparations are meant to make us the best we can be, make us able to perform the task that will be given to us at hand. John, son of Elizabeth, is preparing the way for Jesus' ministry. The prophet Malachi talks also about the preparation of the people of Israel for the coming of the promised one. My friends in Christ, they are talking about us. We are the ones being prepared. We are the descendants of Levi, gold and silver being refined through fire that liquefies the metal so that the dross, the impurities, can be removed. We are the crooked roads being made straight. We are the valleys being filled to completeness, the mountains and hills being humbled. We are the ones being prepared. Now, some of the descriptions of preparation, particularly in the text from Malachi, might strike us as punishment or a threat to our existence. Fire and fuller's soap, which is a harsh alkaline substance that's used to clean and bleach clothes and remove stains, both can burn. But it strikes me that the refiner's fire is not about destroying the gold or the silver. Rather, it's about making it more what it already is. More fully silver. More fully gold. Removing those impurities that would make it less than it should be. The preparation for wrestling is not meant to destroy the body, but to prepare it to withstand what is to come, to make it fast, strong, agile, more effective at wrestling. Our preparations for company at the house are not meant to destroy the house, but to make it the best and most welcoming home that it could be. Now, as anyone who has done physical therapy or played an instrument or a sport knows, preparation is not without pain or discomfort. It pushes us into places we have not gone, and it forces us to live there a while. But what happens over time? Right? The fingering on the instrument becomes easier. We're less tired after practice. The move comes without thinking. Over time, we come to a place of comfort in that new skill, that new talent, that new physical state. We become the athlete or musician the preparation is meant to bring about. Our Advent midweek focus is prepare the royal highway. It's about the process of being prepared, both in the doing and in being acted on. Because ready or not, Jesus is coming and we are being prepared. Some of the preparation we've talked about is chosen, right? Playing a sport or an instrument, going on a trip, having visitors. Sometimes you choose them, sometimes not. Some preparation is thrust upon us. The death of a loved one, loss of a job, pandemics. These are things that can sting or burn. But each works to make us more fully what we already are. 3 years ago, I asked the question on this Sunday, what is this time preparing us for? It's a good question, but with our focus these past few months on the reign of God, the reign of heaven, I wonder if maybe it's more about what we are to do in the waiting for Jesus. What is the preparing in this time shaping us to do and to be? What is the refiner's fire burning from us as the dross, the impurities? Phrased another way, what is the essence of the precious metals that God is making even clearer in our lives? Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, says that it is his prayers that your love, this agape other-centered love, your love may overflow. The implication is that it spills over, that it may overflow like a fountain, and that it may grow more and more, growing from a fountain to a geyser. And that this love would spring from our knowledge gained through firsthand relationship with God, who has come to us in Jesus, who we encounter in each other, in Scripture, in the meal, and in the bath. Paul's prayer for us, Jesus' command to us, remember, points us to this precious essence in each of us. Love. That self-sacrificial, other-centered love that is expressed in word and action and deed. Especially after this week, I'm convinced that part of the dross that needs to be burned away in preparation to love like this is our indifference, even our hostility to one another. Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare, was gunned down in New York this week. And his murder drew forth a disturbing mix of reactions from people. There was everything from indifference to almost satisfaction. Comments mentioned online in the were personal stories of denials of care, restrictions on care, bankruptcies because of medical needs. One read, "His company put multiple of my family members in debt they will be paying for the rest of their lives and denied care for my uncle, which led to his death. Brian Thompson killed people, full stop." Now when I listen, when I don't react, but I listen, I think I hear two sides of the same coin being spoken about in these responses. The coin, for lack of a better word, is the dehumanization of each other. The denial of love for one another. Brian Thompson grew up in Jewell, Iowa. City just a little smaller than Ely. It's just north of Ames. He played the trombone and made All-State in high school. He was a golfer, graduate of the University of Iowa. He was a husband, father of two sons, one 19, I believe he's a freshman, the other 16. 50 years old. How many people do we know in this congregation just like that? Or in our lives? He was created in the image of God and deserving of love and respect for that reason alone. And the indifference to his murder because of his job is something that should be burned away to prepare the way of the Lord, so that we might better love one another and have empathy and sympathy when someone bearing the image of God is murdered. And we all know, some have experienced, the stories of dealing with health insurance and the lack of it. The glacial pace of approval and payment, the denial of care and coverage, the refusal to cover a potentially life-saving drug or treatment. Our capitalist system, as it gets expressed in healthcare, emphasizes profit over everything else. And so it incentivizes ways to deny or delay care in an effort to save money and maximize profits for shareholders, for salaries, for employees. And I would argue this requires viewing people not as human beings made in the image of God, but as liabilities to be managed. Seeing with the eyes of profit loss, not love. It is this lack of being seen as human beings deserving of love and dignity that draws forth the worst in us. This is the dross we yearn to burn away, so that corporately our care for one another might be based on love for human beings, not how it affects the bottom line. So that we might abound with love more and more. The love that we experience in Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. A love that sees wondrous creations in the image of God and seeks to care for them as God has cared for us. This is part of how we are preparing and being prepared. Friends, we remember that the point of preparation is not perfection. Even the greatest athletes, musicians, technicians never stop preparing for their craft. And it's also not what guarantees our salvation. Both Malachi and John are very clear about this. The preparation is to meet the one who saves us, Jesus. The Jesus born on Christmas morn, hung on the cross on Good Friday, who walked out of the tomb at Easter, breaking the hold of death over all the world, those whom he loves. Jesus is our hope and our salvation. Not the work we do, not our preparation. Jesus is the one who enters into our darkness with a light so bright and beautiful nothing can overcome it. Jesus, as John puts it, is the salvation of God. Are we ready for this, my friends in Christ? Are we willing to trust in the claim God has already made on us in baptism? Are we willing to be prepared by the refining fire? Are we willing to imagine a new and different future that looks an awful lot like the reign of God we've been talking about? And to do those things not for our sake, but for the sake of the world. Are we prepared to love God with all that we are, heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love one another with the same wild abandon as Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? Are we prepared? Are we being prepared so that love might abound more and more? Thanks be to God.